Blog Talk Radio. Discussion of the dynamic and volatile world of writing, publishing, and marketing of the written word. Today's esteemed guest is retired parole officer, author, and so much more, Daphne Priscilla Brown Mack. Welcome, Daphne, to the Author's Lab.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How's your day going so far, Daphne?
My day is going well. I'm attending an event and doing this interview at the same time, so I'm multitasking here.
Hey, that's what we do.
Yes,
that's what
absolutely.
We do, sir.
Uh-huh.
So, Daphne, welcome to the show. As I said, when you last came on, you spoke about your debut nonfiction book, The Other Side of the Story. Can you give us an update on how the book sold and was received? And did you do or think about a follow-up to the story?
Well, after The Other Side came and I did a little marketing with it, got some good reviews, got a couple of critics and so on and so forth, and it continued to go, and I was able to continue to tell the story, and so as time passed, to kind of fast forward it, wasn't really doing a whole lot with it, but I had a strong desire for the book to be at a college in the criminal justice department, and so trying to see what avenue to take and what I needed to do and trying to make contact. And so I randomly came across someone at a college, and we connected, and so the book is still going well. And so fast forward to the fall of 2019, the book is going to be at a local college in the criminal justice department, as my desire. But in between all of that, moving that forward, last year I had a chance to I obtained my master's in public administration, and so I had to do a study abroad, and we went to Accra, Ghana. And so the trip was so fulfilling. I just was just mesmerized. I was just like, oh, my God, this is so amazing. And so while I was there, I said, I have to write a book about this experience that I'm having. And so, yes, I did start. Not finished, and it's called Taking You to Ghana. And so I have to strategically work on that book because the fact that when you read it, I want you to be in Ghana with me. And so that's where everything is at with the book.
Okay. I'm just glad that The Other Side of the Story, which I remember was a very, very deep and emotional story, I'm just glad that that was well received. So you've been awarded, Daphne, the John E. Weaver Book Award. Talk about the process of how you came to win this prestigious honor.
Well, I came across the John Weaver Award. So let me kind of think about to tell it very quick. I received the email one day doing, you know, after the book was up. And so I was like, oh, there's another one of those marketers, you know, trying to get me to buy into their program. And
so
I thought about it, and I said, you know what, let me check it out. So it was the phone number on the end. So I took out time, and I called. And so I was trying to remember how they got my information. And so I spoke with a very nice lady, and she started telling me about Mr. Weaver. And I said, oh, yes, he did reach out to me. Well, she hated to be the bearer of bad news, but he had passed away. And so she became heirs to his company. And so she was reaching out to all of his clients that he was in touch with, and I was one of them, and she made me remember it. I was like, yes, I remember, and, you know, was so sorry to hear of his passing. And so she and I got to talking and kind of built a really nice sisterly relationship, and I've never met her in person. And to me, I just felt like it was so God-ordained how we came together. And so I became part of what they were doing for us, marketing. She was such a sweet lady. And so she sent me an email. She was like, we have a contest. And by the way, she did have a chance to read my book. I mailed her a copy of my book. And she was just so into the book. And it really touched her a whole lot. And so she said, why don't you enter a contest that we are hosting? And I was like, oh, I said, I'll think about it. And so, yes, I was because I had already been in a contest and I didn't win. So I was like, you know what, let me just keep it going the way I've been going. And she said, no. She said, we have professional readers that would read it and score it properly. And so I said, well, okay. So I took out the time and forwarded the book and all that good. And so next thing I know, I get an email congratulating me. I won an award. I was like, you got to be kidding. I said, now you're not being just nice to me. She said, I had nothing to do with selecting your book. She said, I have good exit values. And I was like, oh my God. And so I said, I won an award for my book. And I couldn't believe it. So that's how the John E. Weaver award came about. And I'm just truly honored about that. And I'm excited.
Wow, that is something that's really, really awesome. And you know what? Since we last talked also, your resume has been so fat and
oh
so fine and prestigious. You know, it's been such a great, great resume. And let me ask you, I know that you also got your degree, your master's degree, and that is such an awesome thing. How did that come about?
You.
And how did you feel once you went through so much schooling, you know, to finally get that piece of paper? How did that feel for you?
Well, it was, wow. It was like, and I wasn't being modest about it, but it was like, oh my God, I have a master's now. And how it all began, I wanted to further my career in criminal justice. And so I seen that the school I attend had a criminal justice program, master's. It was online, so I didn't have to go on campus. But, you know, I'm you know, early 50s and thinking, you know, I don't feel like hanging around a university with a bunch of youngsters, and so I can do it online. Well, it was very challenging for me. And the reason I say it was because right when I started the criminal justice program, my book was coming out. And so you're talking about thinking that I'm a queen of multitasking, I was not. And so after, you know, I was trying to juggle the two because at this time they're trying to market the book. I'm taking phone calls and all of that, planning a book signing and all of that. And it just didn't. It didn't gel together. And so I was kicked out of the program, not ashamed to say. And because I'm a firm believer that when God has a plan for your life, you're going to have failures. And so I took it as, I was hurt at first because it was like, oh, my God, they suspended now. They kicked me out of the program. And so I went on, and so I made myself content. Well, I guess it was not meant to be. Then I had a little thought about maybe just going on into law school. I was thinking about, no, that's going to take a minute because I'm busy. And so I dropped my son off at school one morning and had the radio on and the commercial, and I won't ever forget, it was 8 o'clock on the dot. The commercial came on advertising this program, public administration, and you can take it online, and it takes only a year. And so the same as the criminal justice program, and I was like, public administration, what would I do with that? And so I, after listening to it, and I was doing something illegal, I was driving and trying to write at the same time. I wasn't texting, but I was trying to write because they gave the number, and it was like I memorized the number, and I threw the pen down because I was trying to hold on to the steering wheel. And so I immediately called them while looking and driving, and the young lady answered the phone, and very pleasant. I said, well, I'm interested in the executive masters of public administration. She said, oh, yes, ma'am, blah, 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 blah. And so long story short, I got accepted in, and when I received the orientation package, they stated that we would do a study abroad. And so I was like, oh, my God. And it was, you know, not at our expense, but technically, you know, when you're doing the student loans, technically you're paying for it. But anyway, still an opportunity. And so fast forward into getting ready to graduate, preparing. So we had three selections to make to do our study abroad. One was in Brazil. The other one was in Panama. And then they had Ghana. And I'm like, oh, my God, Africa. And that's all I could think of. And I said, well, I can get to Panama and Brazil quicker than I can get to Africa, I'm thinking to myself. And so I went on ahead and selected Ghana. And if I tell you that was the best thing could ever happen to me, to go back to the original landmark of our ancestors. And I promise you, when after graduation, like the following week was the trip. So I went, my husband was able to go. And so when I got to Ghana, Accra, Ghana, to be specific, when I got there, Robert, when I stepped off the plane, I just took a deep breath, like I was waiting to exhale. And as we was transported over to the terminal where we went in to go through customs, and I just looked around like, oh, my God, I'm here. And, Robert, I felt like I was at home. And it was just so amazing. And then, of course, I was trying to be all macho and everything. I started crying. I was like, oh, my God, let me fix my face. But I felt it was like a at peace, and I just felt like I was at home. And so that's how all of that came about with my master's. And so, you know, I don't regret a moment, although, yeah, you know, I miss the criminal justice side of it, but I'm being able to juggle both, you know.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, that Ghana thing, that Ghana trip actually – intrigues me so much because a chance, as you said, to go to the motherland. You know, and then Ghana. Now, did they tell you why Ghana specifically and not another country in Africa? Why Ghana as opposed to the other multifaceted countries in Africa?
Right, right. Well, as you know, along with Senegal, but Ghana was like the main place, and if I'm incorrect, someone can correct me. But from what I learned when we got there, because doing the study, we learned how our ancestors was transported to wherever they were going, to different islands, and then to America. So Ghana is on the coast. It's on the coast. And so the ships came in. And they had the different castles. I had the opportunity to walk the grounds that our ancestors walked on, going to the ship. It would take 3 to 4 months, if I recall the time frame, of staying in the castles. They would go and capture the Africans from the different tribes. And then, you know, we even had a betrayal of our own ancestors selling us out to the you know, to take us away. And so being able to tour both of the castles that they had, the Elamine, I can't think of the name of them right now. I should have wrote it down. But anyway, you can look up Ghana, Cape Coast, that's what it was, over in Cape Coast. That's the island of the shores of Cape Coast. And so they would travel and bring our ancestors to these holding places. And I recall so well at the Elamine where they have on the door that opens up to the sea, the Atlantic Ocean, if I recall right. Please correct me. I'm trying to get it all right. But anyway, as they open the door, and at the top of the door, it says the door of no return. And our ancestors was taken out of that door not to return. And so, of course, the tour guide said, so we went out that same door of no return. And so he kind of jokingly said, he said, okay, so we can return back in now. And so, of course, it was a little funny. But anyway, but it was just so, you could just feel to me the spirits of our ancestors as we toured and they talked about how they suffered and went through so much and how they did the women and how they did the men. And so many of them died. And then if anybody died during the time of transporting, they just dumped them over in the ocean. And so, but yeah, it's a trip that I say everyone of, you know, the ancestors need to take that trip. And matter of fact, this is celebrating 400 years of us being transported to the other countries. And so they're having a lot of festivities beginning in the month of July, I believe it is. And I wanted to try to go, but I got other things that has kind of occupied, so I won't be able to go. But I'm making plans to get back to Ghana as soon as I can.
Yeah, speaking about those slave ships, a lot of people don't realize that Columbus and then the first slave ships went through Dominican Republic. They went to Haiti.
Yes, sir.
They went to Brazil.
Yes.
They went to Cuba. They did not only go to America. And, you know, it, like you said, that experience had to be horrific for so many of the slaves coming over here. But what I'd like to talk about, too, Daphne, is that, okay, so you're over in Ghana. How long did you actually stay and go to school in Ghana? And was your transition over there from America to Ghana seamless? Or did you have any major challenges in the beginning? I know your husband went, but did you have any major challenges in the beginning?
No, I didn't. Well, the only thing I know to make the preparation, we had to take the yellow fever shot and and then we had to take these pills, malaria pills that we had to do before we left to, you know, say to prepare us from to go over there. But for us, the flights and all of that, we flew from Houston to London, and we hung out at the airport there for about 2, 3, 4 hours, and then it was time to board the plane to continue our journey to Accra, Ghana. And so that was about the only thing that, you know, if I'm answering the question correctly, that's about the only thing that I can think of that was kind of challenging, you know, preparing yourself. You have to prepare yourself to travel overseas in certain countries, and we definitely have to prepare going over there.
And how long were you in Ghana?
We were in Ghana for 8 days.
Okay.
Technically 9 because we left at a certain time, but it was, you know, 8 full days over there.
Now, I know you talked about the emotional experience that you had going in behind that door of no return and others.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did your experience in Ghana affect or change your spiritual perspective? And if so, when did you realize that this had happened to you?
Well, like I said, when I got off the plane and took a deep breath, like, you know, just waiting to exhale, and being there and checking in, going through customs, meeting the people who were responsible for us and seeing all the different natives there in the country, it was like, wow, I'm here in Africa. I'm here in Ghana. And then we were transported to a hotel where we were going to be staying at, and it just kind of made me feel grateful, if I could say, more of a appreciation of my African roots. And I guess on the sidebar, I can kind of say, well, you know, I was born here in America, and, you know, don't tell me nothing about Africa. I'm not from Africa, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, as you get older and realize, yes, you definitely have some African blood in you. Your hair is not kinky for no reason at all. So, but anyway, just being able to more appreciate where I come from, I can truly say I came from that country. And so if opportunity allow, I'm actually making plans so that my whole family, my children and my husband again, can go and experience that, because I am a firm believer that you should take advantage of the opportunity. And yes, it was a spiritual awakening to really appreciate where we come from and being just very grateful to be here.
Wow, I can't wait till your book, Taking You to Ghana, is published. Like you said,
yes,
you're going to walk us through your entire
yes
time there, and I think that's going to be a fascinating, fascinating read. Daphne, among your many hats is working with Earthshine Media Group as a publishing agent and book coach. How was that experience working out for you?
Wow, you would ask me that. If I tell you, this has been one of the major, major opportunities that I could say I am truly enjoying the journey. This is the same publishing company that John Weaver was a part of. And my partner, my sister, Cindy, I call her Cindy, she has been amazing. So she and I, we connected because, you know, we be on and off because everybody's busy. So we connected again, like towards the end of last year, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so glad to hear from you, blah blah blah, and so we were finishing up our catch up conversation, and so I was like, oh, by the way, I'm book coaching, and she just made this outburst, this little scream that she does is so cute, but she screamed and she said, oh my God, Daphne, oh my God. I've been looking for someone to do that. And I'm like, okay. and she said, I need you to come and help me. And I was like, okay. And she went on to tell me what she wanted me to do to help her with, you know, the incoming authors who are submitting their manuscripts for her to look over and see if they can get accepted at Earthshine. And so I was like, so you want me to come and work with you? And she said, yes, Daphne, we'll be good together. I know we will. And so I said, okay. I said, well, tell me some more about it. And if I tell you, she went fast forward working everything, getting me my emails and preparing to get my business cards and just everything. And next thing I know, I'm working for Earthshine as a publishing agent, you know, aka book coach, and so that's where I'm at now. So my client who I was assisting, or who I am assisting, I should say, she reached out to me to help her with her book, and so I was like, well, God, I said, what do I said, well, I guess I can kind of give her the pros and cons of what I didn't learn by way of, you know, helping her. And if I tell you,
right,
Robert, this has been such an amazing experience. Not only am I able to reach out to the ladies who I'm working with now, but Cindy has teamed me up with a couple of more amazing people. And you know what? Here's the funny good out of this. So I'm on LinkedIn, and so I received an instant message from this lady, and I read it, And she said, because I had all my information about me working for Earthshine, and so she reached out to me, and she said, my mother, who is in Johannesburg, she is a writer, and she has a book that she's looking for someone to look at. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, all the way in Africa, South Africa, at that? And I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And so I reached out to the mother, and we had a chance to talk on the phone, and just a beautiful person, and we just kind of gelled. And so I told Cindy, I was like, oh, my God, somebody from Johannesburg reached out and wanted us to look at her manuscript. And she was like, oh, Betsy, that's great. Oh, my God. And so long story short, we was able to kind of, well, we reached out to her today as we speak, and she's very much interested in working with us, and she has an amazing story. She has an amazing story. It's a fiction book based on a true story, and so we're looking forward to working with her. So that's how that journey with Earthshine Media came about. It's a really good journey. I'm enjoying it.
Well, that's the key. That is the key, that you enjoy the journey. So, you know, we have so many authors and writers that listen to the show. Talk to us about the difference and how it affected you from working, going from an author of books, of someone who's written their own book, to a book coach in coaching other people. How did that work out for you? How did that go?
Well, very interesting. So when the client approached me, she was like, you know, I've read your book, and it's a good book. And so she said that her mother, before she passed away, she wanted her to write a book as well. And so so she reached out to me. Matter of fact, she's a longtime friend of my late mother, and so I kind of hang around my mother's friends because it makes me feel really, like, close to my mom. These are her friends, you know.
Sure.
And and so she reached out to me. Her family said, you know, you need to get Priscilla. That's my middle name. And so she reached out to me, and we met in an open space, and so we sat down and talked. And Robert, I was just like, I can't believe that I'm sharing so much, not knowing that I have unlocked this knowledge that I have to help someone with their book. And so as she was talking, she handed me her manuscript that she had already prepared. And so I looked at it, you know, it was cute, few pages, and, you know, she had it working, so looking at the gist of the story. And so she actually said, you want to read it now? I said, no, I'm not going to read it now. I said, I will, but not. I said, you tell me your story. And so I got her to share some of the things she didn't have in the manuscript that she had already put together. And she was like, oh, I forgot about that. So that's when this amazing journey coaching her with her book started happening, so many things. And so she have her granddaughter assisting her because she can type real fast, and it's really helping me out because then I'm able to really focus on pulling the story out of her. And so if I tell you, this lady has birthed an amazing story talking about her father in the ministry. And so she, even the granddaughter, this is a golden opportunity for her to even learn more about her grandmother. And, so this journey of being able to create, and I'd be amazed myself. It's almost like some book coach angel just jump into my body and make me tell all and say all this stuff and pull. And she says, oh, that sounds good. I said, no, you're telling it good. And so it's just a really good feeling of watching someone birth their own book. And with my help, and of course, God led. And so I'm excited about what I'm doing and looking to help someone else with their book.
Yes, yes. And it's amazing how we don't know what we can do until we do it.
Exactly.
And that is so amazing.
Exactly.
You know, Daphne, I would be remiss if I did not mention another capacity that you were involved in, the founder and CEO of a 501c3 called Prevention Zone. What led you to start this endeavor, and what is its mission?
Wow. That came about, Robert, while we were going through the situation we were going through. And I was thinking along the line that as I was going through it, I was learning. And then information that I already knew, it was enhanced. And so I was thinking to myself that I need to write a book so that I can help someone who's going through the criminal justice system.
Right.
And so so as the time passed, fast forward, everything's over. And as I was going through the backtrack a little bit, I kept a journal of everything that was going on. And so after everything was over, I sat down, looked at the journal, and I was like, wow, where do I start? So I didn't have a book coach to help me. I just kind of did Google University, so to speak, and looked up information and seen how do I start, where do I start, and everything. And so I started writing, and, of course, the book came alive. And so during that era, as working as a parole officer, I came in encounter with many people who was convicted and went to prison. And when I get them after, you know, when they come on parole, I get them, you know, I'm kind of nosy too. So I said, well, why did you go to prison? What happened? And I was starting to come in contact with quite a few people, not a whole bunch, because don't get me wrong, some of those guys deserve to be where they're at in prison. But I was coming in contact with Ms. Jack. I really didn't commit the crime. And so I took a plea bargain, or I just got tired of staying in jail. I was in jail for like 5 years. And so I just took whatever deal they can offer me. I said, so you didn't commit your crime? They said, Ms. Jack, no, I did not commit my crime. And so, of course, they were able to show proof, because they had already started the process with the Innocence Project of working on their case to reopen to exonerate them. So I was like, oh, my God. So I'm kind of racing. My mind is racing. I start writing things down. And then it's the other part to it is that I have a 16-year-old son. He's 16 now. So at the time he was 14. And so looking at the life of my son, thank God he's a good kid, AB student, play football, no issues, and I'm very grateful for that. But looking at him, he has challenges, and then I'm looking at the seriously at-risk kids that have challenges. Kids are getting into so much. They're killing, they're joining gangs, and just being misled and getting into the criminal justice system. So as we kind of start a little foundation of how I wanted it to be ran, it was kind of not good, because the fact that, you know, you got to think of the Privacy Act and what you can share and what you can't share. And so then I came in contact with the young lady who assisted me in putting it together. She was an expert in putting nonprofits together. So I reached out to her and told my husband about it. We started investing. And so the way she carried me, Robert, was so phenomenal, because here I go again, birthing something I didn't know I had in me.
Right,
and
exactly.
She pulled so many things. Yeah, she pulled the mission statement out of me, and I was, you know, saying all these words, the core value, a vision statement. Then we had to do the branding, you know, how will I be branded and all that kind of stuff. So the mission statement for Prevention Zone, Robert, reads, if I may, the mission of Prevention Zone, Inc. is the catalyst for prosperity through providing leadership, training, professional development, and life strategies for recently released exonerees and youth bubbling with potentials. So,
wow,
that's not good.
I commend you as a parent myself, I commend you, and I think this is so needed. And thank you so much for this. This is is so needed, like I said. So in closing, Daphne, what's next for Daphne Priscilla Brown Mack? What other irons do you have in the fire coming up?
Well, we are currently, my husband and I, he's waiting on his acceptance paper, but we are both getting ready to pursue a certification in nonprofit management at the good old Texas A&M here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a 10-week long program, and we become certified, in other words, experts in putting together a nonprofit. So anyone who wants to put together a nonprofit come 2020, they could hit us up and we can help them. I mean, it's another avenue, because I'm very passionate about helping and you know, seeing people move forward or go forward the same way I'm doing, you know, because I don't like the haters. Don't be sitting back hating because I'm going. Guess what? There's room for you too. You know what I mean?
You got that right.
So, yes, absolutely. So also, I created, by way of my dear, I call him my little brother. He helped me with the idea of creating a book club. And so we have that going as well. It's called Author Series over at the Texas Southern University Library. So, but that's it. That's what's happening now.
That's it. I mean... You know, I just can't wait to what you're going to do next. I mean, that is so awesome. So this has been the Author's Lab with me, Robert Batista. One of the easiest ways to peer into my soul and download and read My Baby Has No Name from Smashwords.com, my short story. My guest has been the multifaceted and talented Daphne Priscilla Brown Mack. Thank you so much, Daphne, for being my guest on the Author's Lab.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
It's been so great. Thank you so much, Daphne.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.